thank the Lord that He is a patient, a long-suffering God. I'm thankful He didn't just pass by me one time.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful that He kept after me. I'm thankful that He's still interested in passing by every one of us. You know, when Jesus passes by, things change. Whenever we're able to reach out by faith, appreciate the song of that bread of life. Jesus said that I am the bread. And when we reach out and He's passing by to offer us that bread, I thought about one place where He told children of Israel, He said, open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. But our place and our responsibility is to hunger and to thirst for it. That we have a desire above anything else, that what the Lord wants to offer when He passes by and touches our life, that we would partake of what He has for us. Desire and need your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless His word. Like to talk by the help of the Lord about the God of our fathers. Like to begin in the third chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus 3 spoke just briefly earlier in the meeting, I believe yesterday, about the calling of Moses when he was walking, going along the way and saw the bush that was burning. The Lord met him there. The Lord had something special that He wanted to do for His people. And I'd like to pick up the ninth verse, Exodus 3 and verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You ever feel like that? Who am I? Whenever the Lord comes and calls and talks to my heart, and realize that there's a need, Moses, when the Lord called him to go up against Pharaoh, Lord, who am I? You see this man, you see the power that he holds, the oppression that's been upon our people for so many years. He felt so incapable of being able to go up. You know, the Lord didn't call Moses because Moses was great. The Lord didn't call Moses because he was the most qualified or powerful, the most charismatic. He didn't call him because he needed Moses and there was no other way that he could do it, but he was the God. And I want us to read a little further here. Moses asked, Who am I that I should go, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent you. I am the self-sufficient one. I am the one that draws my strength and my power from none other. He inhabits eternity. There are those that say that, well, it all came from a Big Bang. And you can ask the question, well, where did the material for the Big Bang come from? And they many times don't have an answer because there is no answer from that. But yet somehow there was something that came from something else that they was able in their minds to produce a Big Bang. You know, God is self-sufficient. He came from no other. He was not created. He inhabits eternity. And he said, Oh, Moses, even though you are so small, even though you're unable, I am has sent you. and go and tell the children of Israel, I am that I am. I am everything that you need. I am able to supply every need that you have. I'm thankful that we still serve the great I am. The children of Israel had been in Egypt around 400 years, I believe, 300 of which or so were under bondage and under oppression. Been a long time. No doubt all of them, that was all they had ever known in their lives, and their parents, and perhaps their grandparents. The oppression that was in Egypt, the cruel oppression of Pharaoh upon the children of Israel. That was what they had known. And so as Moses was going down to the children of Israel saying, now we're going to be delivered, the Lord was wanting to convey the message to them that I am has sent you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. You know, even though they had been years in bondage and in oppression, they didn't have the same scriptures that we have to look back upon, but they were instructed that they were to pass down the stories of what God did. Whenever God created Adam, and Adam lived for such a long period of time, and he had overlap with those that came behind him, that he was able to tell them face to face the things that God had done. And they passed that down to their children, and they passed that down to their children. And the stories of what God had done were passed down. Oh, the stories of deliverances, the story of the creation and what the Lord had done, the God of their fathers. And he was coming and saying this to them, I believe, to inspire their faith. Though this thing before you seems so oppressive, and you don't see a way out, I want you to remember, I am the God of your fathers. The one that you've heard the stories about. The one that you've heard of your fathers, and you saw what he did for Abraham, and how he provided a way for him, and he provided a lamb there in the bush. I am the God of your fathers. And I'm able, by that wanting to inspire their faith and their trust in Almighty God. This is something bigger than Moses. This is something bigger than a man's idea. The God of our fathers has sent him. I'd like to look at Romans, the 15th chapter. Romans 15. I'd like to look at the 4th verse. Romans 15 and 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, I don't believe for a minute the things that are written in this are by coincidence. I don't believe that it's just a random bunch of letters and writings of men that happen to be in the right place at the right time, and some man just happened to put these together and passed it down, and that's what we have. But the Scripture says in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Another place, holy men of God spake in old as they were moved and inspired by the Holy Ghost. This is the inspired Word of God, every word of it from the cover to cover, from the start to the finish, and it is, the Scripture says, for our learning. The things that are written in it, the successes and the failures, the times that the Lord wrought great deliverances, those things are for our learning today. For the things that we face and the things in life that we go through, to realize the God of our fathers is still there for us to get a hold of. The one that delivered, the one that brought the children of Israel up and gave them out of the hands of the Egyptians and crossed the Red Sea, the God that did all that. Those things are written for our learning. Those things are written that in the tests and trials that we face in life, we might have comfort and we might have hope. To realize that the God that they served is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that we serve, the same God that said, I'll fight your battles for you. I trust this morning that our faith could be inspired by looking up at the God of our fathers to realize that He is the one that is fighting for us. Remember different times that I think of Elijah there on the mount whenever the false prophets were crying out to their God and it wasn't working. Began beating themselves and cutting themselves. And Elijah, whenever they're all finished, are you through now? Now he offered a simple prayer. And he said, Lord God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Israel, oh God of our fathers, we call upon you. It's something more. It wasn't some elaborate show, but Lord, my faith reaches out to you. My faith in the God, he said, of Abraham, and reaching back to those stories that he had passed down to him of what God did for Abraham, of what God did for Isaac, of what God had done for Israel. Realize by faith that that's still the same God that I'm calling upon here. Lord, you see these people, the 400 prophets, they're looking on. Oh, Lord, if ever I needed something, it's now. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You know, we can still pray that same thing. Oh, God of our fathers, God that worked all those miracles in the past, let's not think that's just a thing of the past. That's just the way that the Lord worked back then. But He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever for us to get a hold of, for us whenever we face something that seems so daunting, that our faith would mount up, that we'd look and realize, remember the stories of what God had done in times past. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. I'd like to follow along with this scripture a little more. These things are written for our learning. Deuteronomy 6 and the 4th verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house in thy gates. There is a charge that was given unto the fathers. You have a responsibility. The things that you saw God do in your life, the things of the stories that were passed down to you from your fathers, of what the Lord did for your fathers, pass it down. Because the time's going to come that you pass off the scene, and now your children are faced with making these decisions. They need to have something to be able to base their life upon. They need to have some direction and a compass to be able to say, there's a God that fought for our fathers, and He'll do the same for us. Whenever the world's pulling and drawing, there's something that I have to build upon. You know, that is a serious charge for me as a father. For every one of us as parents that are parents and grandparents, Lord help us. Whenever we lay down, whenever we walk, whenever we talk, everything that we do, that it would be a testament of God's power and of His ability. And so they were to pass that down. Remember whenever the Lord brought the children of Israel through the Jordan River. And He said to the priests, whenever they go through the river, that they were to take up stones, one of them each. 12 stones that they'd take up. Let's turn and read that. I believe that's in Joshua, the 4th chapter. Joshua 4, the first verse. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. Command ye them, saying, take ye thence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Might seem like a foolish thing to do, carrying along stones with us that are weighing us down, but the Lord had a purpose for what He was doing. The Lord has always been interested in the generation that is to come, has always been interested in this thing going forward. And so He said, take up these stones and carry them. Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And so they did that. The Lord was interested not only in that generation, but realized the time would come that the ones that walked through that river themselves would be gone. And their children then would be coming along to take the way right behind them. And He was interested to pass down to them what I did for you. Now there would be stones when they pass and they say, what does this mean? You know, we need to have some stones in our lives that the Lord's given us of places that He's given us healings. We need to hear that to the fathers and the mothers, to the elders, those of us that have had healings and answers to prayer. We need to be willing to pass that down. The enemy would like to be able to cut that off, would like to be able by one generation how much he can do, how much he can do to cut off that story of what God has done and how far in one generation a family or a people can go. And so the Lord gave strict instruction. Make sure you tell them. Make sure you pass down that I am the God of your fathers. That whenever they see these places in your life, they can say, Dad, why do you do that? Dad, why is it that you trust in the Lord? Why is it, Dad, that you're doing something that's so contrary to the rest of the world? And I can say, Son, let me tell you. Let me tell you what my God did for me. Let me tell you why this is. That means it's got to be more to me than just a stone or just I do it, because it's got to be a conviction to me. I've got to have it, and it's got to be deeply settled in my heart. That when they come and ask, I can say, look at that. That's what the Lord planted. That's what the Lord did, and their faith also can be inspired. And they coming along can see that and go in the same way. Scripture in one place said to stand in the way and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? To search it out. And that is what I believe that each one of us need to do. That we look for those old paths, the old ways that the Lord met our fathers and the ones that have gone before us. Started out the meeting with a thought of devotion. Those that we know, and I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands, probably every one of us could think of those in our lives that have gone before us that meant something to us. Those that we've looked upon and we saw their faith. We saw their steadfastness in tribulation and hardship. We saw the things that they faced before us. You know, they're gone now. And now the responsibility is left to us. The Lord was interested in the generation following being able to get a hold of the very same thing. And so He is with us today. The Lord is interested in us being able to get a hold of the very same thing that our fathers had. The very same power, the very same kind of victory and faith. The Lord has that for us here today, if we will get a hold of it. Stand in the ways. Ask for those old paths. Ask for the place wherein is the good way. Wherein is the way of the person that goes through hardship and trial, but I see them at the end of their life and they're going out with peace in their soul. They're going out, mark ye the perfect man. Behold the upright. The man that I can look upon and realize God's blessing is upon their life. Seek out after that. That's a memorial to us. That is something that is to be valued. You know, the enemy is trying to attack that kind of testimony. He's trying to minimize the importance of seeking out the old paths, of asking for the ways that I saw my fathers go, the way that my grandfathers go, the way the saints of old went. But if I see the Lord on their life, and I see victory in their lives, and I see them go through their life, be able to have something on hand to carry them through, I need to ask, Lord, I want that same kind of way. Lord, I want to be able to go through and ask for those stones. Hebrews 11 and 4, talking about Abel and the sacrifice that Abel offered. It says, by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Even though he's gone and passed on, the testimony of what he did went on after him for generation to generation. The Lord said, this will be a memorial unto all generations. It is something that should be passed down, and it to us today testifies of what He did and of what was acceptable unto God. So our fathers before us, it testifies of what was acceptable unto God. It testifies, and even though now they're off the scene, let's not be discouraged. Let's not lose faith or falter. It seems like so many have gone on. And I think, Lord, why did You take that one? Lord, we needed him. We needed her. Lord, why did you take them? You know the Lord doesn't want us just to lean on them. The Lord wants us to be able to come along behind and pick up the same thing. Get a hold of the same kind of faith because He is the same God. You know, we're writing our obituary every day. We're writing the testimony of what's going to still speak after we're gone. Of what our children will speak of and our grandchildren and what they remember. The things that they remember of our conduct. Oh Lord, help me that I write a strong memorial. A strong testimony, not of myself, but that they'd be able to see God in me. That they'd be able to see some stones that are steadfast, that are not moving in my life. And that they'd be able to look upon that. And even though I'm gone, whenever I pass off the scene, there's still something they can look to. They can still remember He was a man of God. He had a testimony that was clear. He had something that had faith. He had some power. Whenever he looked to the Lord, there was something. The Lord heard those prayers. I believe that's what the kind of testimony the Lord wants for every one of us to be able to leave. So I'd like to look a little further down. The Lord delivered the children of Israel, did so many amazing things for them. Yeah. Taking them through the desert there, the wilderness, carrying them up. Think of Caleb there. Yeah. Said, give me this mountain. Had that kind of determination. The Lord gave deliverance after deliverance whenever their faith and their trust was in Him. Whenever they remembered what their God had done. But I'd like to look a little further down. Oh, how forgetful the children of Israel were. Yeah. Judges, the second chapter. Judges 2. Joshua had just died. The one that the Lord had worked with and used, wrought many mighty miracles through. Now the time's coming that the Lord had been trying to prepare the people for. Been trying to prepare them by the testimony that he left. But now Joshua has passed off the scene. It says also in the 10th verse of Judges 2, it said, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. You know, the enemy is working as hard today as I believe he's ever worked to try to get us, as the generation that's gone before us passes off the scene, to lose what they had, to go and pass on and begin serving other gods. But it's not going to work. He said here, that they forsook the other gods, they forgot not, they rose up, and they didn't have the same kind of relationship with the Lord. And they began to turn to Baal and Ashtaroth, and it says the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So I want to fast forward a little bit to the next book in the Bible. My understanding is this butts right up to 1 Samuel time-wise. Two books after that, I'm sorry. But it butts right up to it time-wise, no more than 300 years after this. There came a time Eli was on the scene. Remember, spoke a little bit this week of Eli's sons, the sins that they did and caused the children of Israel. They were still following after other gods. But I'd like to look in the fourth chapter of 1 Samuel. First Samuel 4 and 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. How could this happen? Whenever we hear the stories, and now we're starting to remember. Now we're starting to think back and remember that the Lord gave victories over the enemy, over the Philistines in different times. Now how in the world could this have happened? That we come to this place and we come up, we're still the children of Israel in name. Those are still our fathers. But yet we are defeated. You know, it's something more than name. It's something more than lineage. It's something more than just coming through the doors to say Church of God. We're going to have something in our lives deeper than that. For the Lord to be able to bless our lives individually. We can't. There comes a time when no longer can I lean and depend upon the prayers of my mother or father, because they're going to pass off the scene. And now I need something for myself. I need, whenever I go up into battle, to be able to get a hold of the Lord for myself. If you look a couple chapters later, Samuel talking to the children of Israel after they had... Now, before I go there, I want to deal with this a little bit more. So they said that they wanted to take the ark. They said, this will solve the problem. We remember now the ark that's back there that the Lord gave our fathers and said that He'd meet them there. So let's take that out into battle. But you notice it says nothing about them changing their ways. It says nothing about them even seeking after the Lord. But they went and they took the Ark of the Covenant and they carried it up with them. And they began to shout, and the Philistines were afraid of that. But they rallied and said, be strong, quit yourselves like men. I'm in the ninth verse, O ye Philistines. But ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, quit yourselves like men and fight. And so they did that. The Philistines fought and Israel was smitten, fled every man into his tent. We thought that would work. I thought by going back and getting the ark and taking it, somehow that was going to do it for me. I remember now, I'm looking back and I want the best of both worlds. I want to be able to have the God of my fathers. I want to be able to have something like they had it. And so I take a form of what they had. I take something that the Lord never designed for that to be worshipped. But that was the place that He said, I'll meet you there. It wasn't the Ark of the Covenant. It was the God of the Ark of the Covenant. That was the one that fought their battles for them. But they asked after, we need something. We need something to be able to fight for us. I remember thinking back of my fathers and thinking back about the Lord. So I'll take something that resembles what they had. Folks, we got to have something more than that. Whenever we go in the battles of life, we're going to have more than a form, more than a name, more than something that resembles what our fathers had. We can look just like it on the outside, but if I don't have the same kind of power with God that they had, if I'm still trying to hold on to the world with another hand, if I'm still trying to follow after the ways that I think best in my own mind, it's not going to work that way. The Lord said that you serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Whenever you come to the place that you're willing to say, Lord, I follow you wholeheartedly. All these other things that are holding me back, Lord, I lay them aside. I need something here. Lord, I'm being defeated. I'm being whipped. Lord, I need something on hand now. Not having the victory in my life that I want to have. The Lord wants us to be able to get a hold of the same kind of power that our fathers had. The same kind of victory. So now if you look a little further down in the seventh chapter. 1 Samuel 7, the third verse. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And when they did that, the Philistines came up against them again. In the 11th verse, the men of Israel came out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethkar. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Whenever I came to the place in my life that I realize I need something more than what I've been depending on others that have gone before me and leaning on them and leaning on their prayers and their faith, now I need something for myself. And when I come to the place that I realize, and sometimes it seems like you hear, oh, we don't have things the same way as the old saints. The times of old, whenever you read of them having great healings and so forth like that, you know, if we want the same kind of power, we're going to have to pay the same kind of price. We're going to have to be willing to give all. We're going to have to be willing that this isn't a half-hearted service to the Lord. I don't just carry a form forth, but I seek after the God of my fathers. The Lord, whenever we do that, will give us an Ebenezer stone hitherto, hath the Lord helped me. And we'll be able, the same God, because the same God that fought for their fathers was waiting for to fight for them as well. Has any of His power been lost?
No.
Has any of His strength diminished?
No.
Only to the extent that we allow it to in our lives. Only to that extent will His power be diminished and be limited and hindered by the amount that I allow it to work in my life and in my heart. I'd like to close in 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the second chapter. The 8th verse. 2 Kings 2 and 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together. Now Elisha was following after Elijah. The time had come that Elijah was now to pass off the scene. And Elisha was with him. Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. But it says then, he took up also the mantle of Elijah, that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now the time Elijah, the one that the Lord worked so many miracles through, the one that was up there on top of the mount, and he prayed, and the Lord sent fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. The one that he was able to go unto the widow woman, and the Lord worked through him so many different times. Now, Lord, he's passed on. You know, he could have sat back and said, Oh, Lord, what are we going to do now? Lord, what's Israel going to do now? It's a lost cause. It's a defeated cause. But instead he said, Oh, give me a double portion of his blessing. Lord, I need something now that he's gone. I need the God of my fathers. And so he picked up the mantle. It says, he took the mantle from Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. The same God. You know, that's the question that we need to be asking too. Instead of feeling defeated whenever we see the saints of old moving off the scene, but we ought to pick up their mantle that's being passed down to us and say, Lord, instead of thinking back of that sister and that brother, and oh, those are precious memories. And again, those things are for our learning. They're for our encouragement. They're for the building up of our faith. But whenever they're gone, that's not the end of the story. It's not a lost cause. The church is not going down. Whenever the saints of old and the ones that had such great faith pass off the scene, it ought to serve to do something within us. Lord, I want to see this same kind of victory. I want to see this same kind of power, and I want us to remember it's there for each one of us. Each one of us, the ones that we think back on, that went before us, that had great victory and great power, great faith, had something with the Lord. Where is the God of that one? Where is the God of this one? Lord, it's not the ark that I'm asking for. It's not even them that I'm asking you to bring back. But Lord, I'm asking that I too be able to pass something down to my children. That whenever I'm going to pass off the scene, they have that same mantle. That now I can pass to them and they can pick it up and carry it on. The God of our fathers is the God of all generations and all ages. I am the Lord, I change not, he said. Therefore are ye not consumed. And so for us today, the God of our fathers is interested in working in our lives in such a way as he has down throughout time. Earnestly contend for the faith, once delivered to the saints. So many that we could talk about. I'm sure we could go around the room and talk about those that are dear and precious to each one of us. But let's instead say, where is their God? Lord, I want a greater portion of their spirit. I want a greater portion of the faith that they had. There's a song that perhaps you've heard sung. May the fire of our devotion
light their way. May those who come behind us find us faithful. May that be our prayer today. Lord, as I look on my life and think and ask, Lord, what am I passing down to my children, to my grandchildren? What is it that others are going to be able to see? Now some of those old pillars are passing off the scene. Lord, strengthen me. Fortify me. Lord, make me a pillar in some sort of way that I might be able also, the generation behind me, because the Lord is so interested in this thing being passed down, and so ought we too. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Daniel? The God of David, the God of so many in the past, He's still here. He's still, the song said, passing by, still wanting to give every one of us the opportunity that we too can have that place in a cleft of a rock near Him. Pray for me. Amen.